Hey everybody, welcome. My name is Jeremy Foster and I'm here with
Rob Chambers.
And I'm going to give you a little introduction to us, and then we're going to be talking about a really super exciting technology today. We're going to be talking about Cortana. You've all heard about Cortana. She's made a few headlines.
Yeah, she's big in the press.
But before we dig in, first let's do a little bit of an introduction. So like I said, my name is Jeremy Foster and you can find me online at codefoster.com. And on Twitter, at Code Foster. How about yourself, Rob?
Rob Chambers. You can find me online on Twitter at Space Time Glitch. And I'm also on MSDN blog, so you can just search for Rob Chambers on MSDN.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get into this. Now, the whole idea here is that we're going to have a conversation with Rob about Cortana, and we're going to assume that you're a developer, and we're going to talk about what Cortana means to you as a developer today. So that's going to be the point of the conversation. Rob, can you tell us a little bit just about who you are, what is your relationship with Cortana, and also what's with the Twitter handle?
Got it. Good questions. So Rob Chambers, I'm a group program manager at Microsoft. I've been here for about 19 years, and interestingly, I've been working in or around the speech area for 15 of those. My relationship specifically with Cortana, I guess in some ways, started way back then. I didn't know at that time that was what it was. But you know, a couple years ago, we started working on the underpinnings for Cortana from a personal assistant standpoint. And I have two roles that I've played over the last couple years. One role is the group program manager for the API platform team. So that's the team that builds the actual surface area that developers call to integrate with Cortana, subject of our conversation later today. It's also the surface area that the shell team itself used to build Cortana. And so that runs both on the client device on the phone as well as in the service. Same kind of surface area is used for the Xbox product. You've probably used the Xbox or interacted with it to find movies or play games. Same system there. So my specific relationship with Cortana is kind of funny because, you know, as you start building one of these products, it's a product, but then Cortana actually came real to me at some point over the project. There were a few instances where the spark of life was really there. The second part of my job was to organize and coordinate it across the different divisions. So inside the division that I'm in the Bing organization. And so from there, I helped coordinate all of the Bing deliverables into the Windows phone. So all the different technology teams, how the search aspect showed up, how the instant answers showed up, how the proactive experiences showed up, as well as the speech capabilities.
So it seems like there's something unique about Cortana that's been reflected really in your career and has been reflected for all of the users and developers of Cortana now, and that is that she's kind of come to life. She has a persona, right?
She does. A real, like I said, there's that spark of life. I have a memory of it was a proactive experience where we knew we were looking at paying attention to what users do and try to understand, you know, how we can help them better in a proactive way. And so I know all about how the technology works, but I remember I got up one morning, I pulled my phone out of my pocket, I swiped it up to see what was going on, and Cortana had this question for me. She said, "Do you like smartphone news?" And I'm like, "Yes, I do like smartphone news. How did you figure that out?"
Yeah.
And so for like a brief half second or so, she felt very real to me, even though I know how the technology works.
Yeah. I know I've used a lot of Microsoft technologies, but take, for instance, SQL Server. I've never called it she.
Exactly.
Yeah, now all of a sudden I have something on my screen that represents somebody. So I'm going to rip through a number of questions, and I think your perspective on these matters are going to be really helpful for myself personally and also for the developers in the audience. Can you tell us, first of all, what are the opportunities that Cortana presents to a developer these days?
Okay, yeah, sure. So the Cortana not only is a great assistant for users, one of the key differentiators about what we've done is allowing developers to plug into the system. So, you know, on some other personal assistants, you get what they've decided to build for you, whereas we've tried to build the right product for you. But at the same time, we know the phone is a personal object. So we guard that for you in terms of Cortana's notebook, et cetera. But we also know you have the apps that you like to use, which might not be service providers that we would have chosen to integrate with. And so application developers of all applications can extend the Cortana capabilities in very simple ways, so that when a user interacts with the device, they can get Flickr to do something, or they can get Hulu to do something, or IMDb, or whoever chooses to integrate with the system. From
That's
a,
awesome.
You talk to it and it does the right thing.
Okay, so it is a significant opportunity for developers because it's the ability for them to make their app more powerful and more personal, right?
Right. Not only that, it's a discovery vehicle in some ways, right? We found that a lot of applications that get installed don't get used a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And so because it might be integrated into the Cortana experience, and somebody's like, hey, I want to remember how to, you know, call somebody, or they go into the Cortana experience to figure it out, we actually advertise in that experience the applications that are integrated with Cortana. We show you the kinds of things that the developer has enabled, getting users to be able to remember, oh, yeah, that's a great application.
What if I have a restaurant application and somebody asks Cortana about New York steak? Will Cortana suggest that they look inside my application?
Oh, that's a good question. It depends upon how they ask the question.
Okay.
Right, so if I were to say, find great steak restaurants around here, Cortana is going to try to answer because you've asked Cortana.
I see.
Right? We've modeled Cortana in this human-to-human relationship model, right? She's your personal assistant. You're talking to her. She's going to answer you. Now, if you were to say, Yelp, show me some great steak restaurants around here, we've given companies like Yelp the ability to plug in and handle that all by themselves to do whatever it is that they choose to do with that question.
I see.
And it's very much like this human-to-human model. You and I are talking here in this nice environment, but if there was a third person that wasn't paying attention and I wanted to speak to them, I'd look at them, I'd get gaze. They may then start seeing that I'm trying to communicate with them, or they may not, but then I would say their name, and they would light up, they'd look back at me, I'd know they're communicating, and I could say the question. So
right.
It's a, you announce the name of the object in which you're speaking to, and that happens to be an application.
Awesome, gotcha. Okay, now Cortana's brand new, but personal assistants aren't brand new. Can you tell us a little bit about how Cortana is differentiated from the likes of Siri or Google Now?
Okay, sure. The a couple key ways it's different is the Cortana experience learns about you as a user and can offer helpful suggestions after you've confirmed interests. Those are all protected in the notebook that Cortana keeps for you. So you can go in there and know exactly what it is that Cortana believes about you. You can tell her, no, don't remember that about me. I don't want that in there. You can add additional interest and things like that. So we're very transparent about what we're doing with those interests.
I see.
Right? And we don't use those interests for other purposes, right? So it is just, Cortana is an open book, but only to the user.
I see.
Not to, you know, advertising or any other systems.
That gives me as a user a lot of confidence in Cortana. That she's not gonna misuse what I tell her.
Just like with a personal assistant, you know, if you had a personal assistant, you would want to have a very deep trust relationship that man or woman wouldn't do the wrong thing with the information that they have. We're trying to model the same thing.
I see. That's really great. What kinds of apps, if I'm a developer and I'm considering whether or not Cortana is a good fit for my app, what kinds of apps are a good fit for Cortana?
Okay. The a lot of times it's good to think through how easy you're making something versus is there already a better way to do it.
Okay.
And so when I think about Cortana herself and what she's capable of doing, if you divide it up into sort of verbs and objects, she's very good at helping you find something.
Okay.
Right? She's very good at helping you communicate either with people in your life or with the world, like say with Facebook or Twitter or something like that. She's also very good at helping you remember things. And so all of those are true along with the objects that might be there. I might find movies or other information. So any app that's about finding something and then performing an action with it or just looking it up.
I see. Yeah.
Or if it's about communicating with other humans or communicating with the world or helping the user remember to do something a little bit later so that they can offload that task from their mind right now. An example of that is Hulu, for example. When we integrated Hulu integrated into the system, I can hear a great new movie or something I want to watch, and I can just say, Hulu, add blah, blah, blah to my queue.
I see. So
and
you're
it's
finding
there.
That item
it
and doing
It both finds
something.
It, and it adds it to the queue, so that way when I get home and I fire up my Xbox, there it is, ready for me to watch.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm trying to think of apps that would make that would not be a good fit for Cortana integration.
Okay, good. The apps that are very simplistic, like if there's not a large amount of information, or if it's just controllable with three or four buttons,
I see.
Right, might not be very helpful. But anytime there's a large amount of information or a large amount of text, it's helpful because Cortana can jump right into the application at the right place. Like Rudy just recently updated the Wikipedia application for Windows Phone. And so now, it used to be he had some simple things there before. You could say Wikipedia, search, and then you'd have to pause, and then the app would launch, and then you could say what you want to search for. But now you can say things like Wikipedia, show me an article about bananas, or you know, Wikipedia, find Cortana, or anything like that. So in one shot, you're just deep into the application at the right place.
I see. Okay, I was wondering if a calculator app would be bad because it's so simple, but actually it might be great because let's say I'm driving down the road and I don't want to touch my phone.
That's true.
Because I'm distracted, right?
That's true.
So, what if I just ask Cortana, what's 73 times 4?
Right. I think actually Cortana probably answers that today.
Does she really?
But there's some simplicity to what she can do, the simple kinds of math. But if you, if Wolfram Alpha wanted to make an application and take all of the words that came after the word after Wolfram Alpha, they could throw it at their back end and do amazing things with it, like all the mathematical operations that they could perform from text.
Yeah. Now, I've experienced that Cortana's been really good at handling the contacts that I have in my phone or actually through any of my social networks that are all integrated into my hub, you know, contacts hub. And so, for instance, I said, remind me, the next time my dad calls, remind me to XYZ.
Right.
And it said, Cortana, ask me who's your dad and ask me to select from my contacts. I thought that
That's
was awesome. Now she knows my dad. And so when I say dad, she's going to choose this guy. And also, whenever I mention that I want to make a text message for my wife and I call her by name, it works great. But if I'm taking a note and I call my wife by name, Suzanne, it will suggest Susan. And I wonder if there's any way to train Cortana about people that are close to me, like my wife, and that I'm going to be using over and over and make her smarter about how to use those.
That's a great question. It resonates with me as well. In my family, we've named our children with three-letter names when the standard might be four-letter names so that their initials match. So Zachary Alexander Chambers is Zach.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Nicholas Isaac Chambers is Nick. And so when I say Zach, I'd like it to come out as Z-A-C, not Z-A-C-K.
Yeah.
And so in some contexts, like if I'm sending him a text or I'm calling, it works just fine. However, we haven't completed all of our personalization work. So when that user, that person that's important to me in my life, name shows up in other contexts, we're not utilizing all of that personal information yet.
Okay.
We are still in beta, so there are a lot of things that we're trying to accomplish between now and the actual final release, as well as future versions. And that's one that's very important to get right.
Yeah, for sure. Because she's already so personal.
Exactly.
And it makes her feel more like a person when she gets names right.
Right. And conversely, when things like that start to not work, it's when you start to see it as a system as opposed to your trusted assistant.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Well, hey, let's get down to the meat of it. If I'm a developer and I'm ready to implement this, is that hard? How do I do that?
It's not actually very hard at all. So what we've done is we've taken the system that we had some very small underpinnings of in Windows Phone 8, and we've extended that to make it very, very easy for developers. So there are three things you have to do as a developer, assuming you already have a Windows Phone application. The first thing is you have to define what the voice commands are that you want your application to respond to. Right. If I'm a calculator, I probably won't be able to respond well to things like show me a good steak restaurant. Right. So you have to be specific about what the kinds of commands are. Then in doing so, you do things like, you know, give examples of what the phrases are the user would speak. But in some places, you don't have to. We can get into that later. That's the first step. Define what the commands are.
Okay.
The second step is, well, you register that with Cortana on first app startup. So it's not unlike registering a background task agent or something like that on first launch.
Yeah.
You launch up, you point your VCD file to the system reads that, parses it, and then augments Cortana's abilities on that phone so that Cortana knows that your app is ready to receive these kinds of commands. It knows what your app is called. You can have short names and long names, like Hulu Plus might be called Hulu. Then now the system's all ready to go. Next time, when the user starts using Cortana, if they say your app name followed by one of the commands that you've requested to handle, we know how to launch you, too, because in that voice command definition XML file from step one, you say how it is you want to be launched. In Silverlight apps, it goes to a particular page. In Universal apps, it follows the new Universal activation model, which you get some information about knowing what the user said and the kinds of tasks you should be able to perform from that.
So that VCD file that I provide and then that registration step that I do, does Cortana recognize that at first run of my app or at install?
You actually have to write a line of code to install the file.
Okay.
So again, it's a way that we can make sure that you can update that yourself. You can update it over time. You can change what's in the contents of the file and augment the list, et cetera, in any way you want. The file doesn't have to be part of your manifest. You can actually download it from a service if you want to be service-driven in the way that you create these commands.
Oh, I see. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Now, surely, if in the calculator example, surely I don't have to provide declaratively all of the possible combinations of letters that are numbers that,
that
I might...
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, maybe not.
So this is one of the big advancements with Windows Phone 8.1 with Cortana. In the past, the developers really did have to specify every single word the user would ever say.
Yeah.
And if the user forgot one of the words or said a couple extra words, you know, boom, we couldn't understand it because it was very hard and fixed, rigid. In this new world, though, we've really advanced the state of speech recognition using great back-end algorithms to almost solve the speech problem in some ways. And now we've moved it back to a text domain problem for you. Mm-hmm. So you can have some patterns like, you know, these few words followed by a contact name or something like that. Or you can just say, hey, if they say my app name, give me all the text that you have.
I see. Yeah.
And now it's back into a text problem, right?
Yeah. So in the calculator app, it might be what is variable plus variable.
You
could
do
that. Both of those variables.
That's right.
Okay.
Or you could say, just give me everything you want and I'll parse it myself.
All right.
And because Cortana is able to work with both speech and text, you could make a calculator that accepted any text. Maybe it's even algebraic text. You could go into Cortana and type in calculator space, any wild expression you want, enter. Your app would be launched. You can evaluate it and then do the right thing.
Awesome. Wow, that's pretty cool. So I can figure out how much of the work I want to do myself in my app.
Exactly.
Okay.
Your choice.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, when I'm getting ready, actually, I have an app called Code Show that is, it's a Windows 8 app that I've turned into a universal app, but the phone side of it is not ready yet because I just haven't had enough hours in the day. But as soon as that's a phone app, I'm really interested in integrating Cortana.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be looking for resources. That's every time there's a new API, I'm going to be looking for the landing page. Can you give us an idea of what sort of documentation there is around Cortana at this early hour?
Good question. So we do have a bunch of MSDN documentation, samples, et cetera. Probably the easiest way to do this if you're a Windows Phone developer is to download an app that we built especially for this purpose. It's called MSDN Voice Search. So we've integrated MSDN, as you, in some ways, into Cortana. So I could, once you download this application and install it, you can say MSDN, how do I reverse a linked list? And then we'll actually show you search results from MSDN.com.
Okay.
In that app, though, if you just launch the app, there are three buttons. The first button will take you to some documentation on how to integrate your app, like that app itself did. The second button then shows you how to get the source code for that application so you can see exactly how it was built. And then the third link links off to our blogs.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming that that app is probably written in XAML and C#.
It is.
I'm wondering, as a JavaScript developer, or I like them both, but I definitely I use JavaScript some days.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to make an app with JavaScript that integrates with Cortana.
Oh, good. Yes, you can. So I like to verify all these things myself. I haven't verified that one specifically, but I know the team worked really hard to test to make sure it works from all the different scenarios. A Silverlight 8 application that's upgraded, a Silverlight 8.1 application, a universal application, be it C#, C++, or JavaScript and HTML.
Wow,
all
so
of those things
work
are
everywhere.
Supported. She should be able to work everywhere. That's
wonderful.
Right.
That's great. Like any good API. Well, I've got one more question for you, and then I'm going to take some questions from the from developers in the audience that have submitted some questions by way of Twitter.
Yep.
I'm wondering, though, when I call into an application, it seems like right now I need to say explicitly the name of that application and then a phrase that's going to get passed into
right.
it. But what about if I want to kind of call into an application with more of a natural sentence? Like instead of saying, Flixster, show me all movies in this category, What if I want to say, Cortana, can you open Flixster and show me all movies in this category? Is she going to be able to find that?
Got it. There are some variations. Like in that one example where you said open Flixster and something something,
yeah.
We actually support the verb open or start in front of the thing.
Ah, okay.
So if you made your voice command definition except and then the verbs or whatever, that would work today.
Gotcha.
However, we tried to model this again on this human-to-human interaction pattern.
Yeah.
Right? You and I are talking, and if there was another person in the room and I'm trying to get their attention, I'd first look at them, right, and then back and forth like we were talking about.
Okay.
We want to extend it more in the future when we can in terms of like identifying which applications might be able to support those patterns and things of that nature. There are some abilities like that today with the feature in Bing actually called app linking,
mm-hmm.
where IMDb or places with large content, they may show up if you say something like, you know, what was the rating for Iron Man 2?
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then there's an app link there to launch IMDb deeply.
So interesting.
Because all of this technology is in Bing, I have high hopes for bringing this together in the future so that users can speak even more naturally without having to have that application name in the front.
Okay, awesome. Well, hey, we have asked for some questions from the audience using Twitter and the hashtag CortanaQA. That's a hashtag that we've been monitoring and are going to continue to. So if you want to ask questions about Cortana, suggest things, whatever, if any kind of feedback, come back with a simple tweet with the hashtag of CortanaQA. And I'm going to go ahead and look at those now. There's some really good questions that were asked.
Good.
So let's go ahead and dig into these. Somebody asked, I see an example of starting an app by CortanaQA. Can I invoke it within my app to search my app's database? Can it be used to command my app to do actions?
Absolutely. So again, back to those three steps, right? If they write the voice command definition file about how they want to search,
mm-hmm.
And the MSDN example would show how to do that, then register it and then handle the launch, you can have all kinds of entities that you're trying to search, the items that are in your database, and any kind of verbs that you want to deal with. So it's fairly simple. I have an app, too, that I put out in the market. I haven't updated for Cortana yet,
mm-hmm.
but it's a TiVo application.
Oh,
I have
cool.
a TiVo at my house. And I would like to be able to say things like, TiVo, what channel is HBO on?
Hmm.
Right? So I had to actually write out all of the different variations of all the channel names. It was very difficult. But with
yeah.
Cortana, it would be very simple.
Yeah.
You can search the catalog of show names or channel names and do the search.
Man,
absolutely.
That makes it dramatically more powerful because, of course, with databases or web services, you could be opening up not just a whole lot more data, but you could be opening up data that's going to be changing constantly, maybe changing, you know, with
exactly.
crowd contributions.
It'd be a little bit like if you had autocomplete on a type-in control that you had to list all 2 million records before it would work, right?
Yeah, right.
You need a more dynamic programming
yeah.
model where it doesn't matter and you can iteratively go, which is what we have with Cortana.
Absolutely. Okay, let's look at the next one. This one comes in from, I can't pronounce the Twitter names, I'm not even gonna try, but can I add or delete phrases after the first installation?
Yeah, I touched on that a little bit. So this voice command definition file can be loaded, it can be updated and modified. We also have runtime APIs that you can refer to these named lists
mm-hmm.
and update them dynamically whenever you want.
Okay.
So for example, in the app that I was just telling you about, this TiVo application that I wrote, I dynamically connect to a web service periodically to find out what the new channel names are,
mm-hmm.
and then I update that list
okay.
Whenever a new channel is found.
Okay, cool. So it can be dynamic. Good.
That's right.
What about this question? Will Bing/Cortana be one and the same? For instance, if I ask Cortana something, is Bing going to be able to answer that same question?
Very good question. So being in the Bing team, I work with them every day. It's good. There's a lot more personal capabilities coming into Bing. You know, in terms of being able to look at the flights that I'm tracking or being able to control the Cortana settings from within your Bing user profile page, we're using a lot of the same core technology. But fundamentally, Cortana is it aggregates what Bing does, but it also aggregates what so many other things do.
Oh, okay.
Right, so if I were to say, you know, what does my calendar look like next Tuesday, Cortana knows that today.
Okay.
That's not something that Bing really has access to today.
Okay.
And other aspects of like who I have on my contact list, et cetera. So Bing is an incredibly important part of what Cortana brings, but they're not the same thing.
Okay. Okay, this is a good question for people with phones that they've bought some months ago. Technology is moving fast these
mm-hmm.
days. You can have a phone for 2 months and have it be an old phone, but is Cortana going to work with phones before Windows 8.1?
Good question. So for Windows phones that are running 8.0 today, the standard update cycle applies. So whenever an operator or carrier has the update certified, it'll get pushed out to those users whenever the user wants to get that.
Okay.
So yes, it will.
So Cortana just comes with Windows 8.1.
Just comes with Windows 8.1.
Excellent.
Windows Phone 8.1.
All right. What are the chances that we see Cortana integrated into Windows 8.x and Xbox One by the end of 2014?
That's a really good question. I didn't answer your question about what's up with my Twitter hashtag, space time glitch. So maybe I can go back in time and actually make it happen a couple years ago.
Let's reverse.
But probably can't do that. I can't actually talk about future plans in terms of what Xbox is going to do or what Windows is going to do. But I can talk about what my team owns in terms of the API platform.
Yeah.
We went through an extensive process with the Windows Phone team and with the Windows team to make sure that these APIs that we've defined are compatible with the methodologies that Universal APIs also went through.
Yeah.
So if and when we decide to bring Cortana to the Windows devices, not just phones, the APIs will be the same APIs that we have today.
Oh, that's great.
So all the investments that you make today in learning how to do these voice command definition files, all of the code about how you activate or how you find the different parameters, all of your parsing code, that should be very reusable in this new world. Just
Excellent.
Like if you go from a phone universal app to a desktop universal
yeah.
app.
Yeah. It seems like a voice command definition is a voice command definition
regardless
of where it's
right.
going to be recognized.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Another kind of forward-looking question, so we'll see what we can say here. Are there going to be any plans for an interactive avatar for Cortana?
Oh, interactive avatar. Well, in some ways, Cortana is an interactive avatar. It just depends upon what your version of that is. You know, if you look at the competition, right, you look at what Google Now has done, right, they've got a great product. I will give them that. But at the same time, it doesn't, I read in the articles, it doesn't quite have the personality aspects that Siri definitely has,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you swap that around, Siri doesn't have all of the proactive sort of capabilities that Google Now has.
Mm-hmm.
With Cortana, we've tried to take take similar concepts in terms of great interactions, natural language, proactive capabilities. It is a personality, and it also is visualized.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm in Seattle and if I ask about the weather and it's a terrible, nasty day, Cortana may express that to me as she's animating and look kind of sad. There are sad animations.
Yeah.
There are happy animations.
Huh.
So it is an avatar in that sense.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like you or I today.
Yeah, which seems good. It seems good that it's abstracted away from maybe from it having a human.
I think it is, right? It's more of a purely digital approach.
Sure.
Not a
authentically digital.
Authentically digital approach, not a skeuomorphic like approach to an assistant.
Right. Well, that's really cool. Well, that's it for the questions that we've taken from the audience.
Great.
Great answers, and this has been a really good conversation. Thank you, everybody in the audience, all you developers that are going to be integrating Cortana soon. Some of you that already have, that's awesome. I know that there are a number of apps on my phone that already work with Cortana, so I'm imagining these developers in these enterprises that are already doing this. That's really exciting.
It's very exciting. They're busy at work. Keep it up.
Yeah, and definitely remember the Cortana QA hashtag on Twitter that you can use for ongoing feedback on the project. And also, if you have already built a project with Cortana, or if you're working on soon, you do need to know about a program that we have, an incentive that we have at build.windowsstore.com. You can go there and you can tell your dev story about an app that you made, or even an app that you're making, and you can you're eligible to win some pretty awesome prizes. So once again, that's build.windowsstore.com. And you can also use a hashtag on Twitter, iDevThis. So if you make a message on Twitter and just use the hashtag iDevThis, and you can talk about an app that you've already made, that you're working on, and just get a little bit of attention by way of that hashtag. So
that's great.
There you go.
I'll look for those.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Rob, for the conversation. This is super exciting for me and all developers everywhere.
Thank you. Glad to help.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Thank you.